Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and in Scottsdale, Arizona. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us now in our studios at 9th and Gamble here in Anchorage. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, David.
Hey, do you know anything about the spine?
A little bit.
Okay, good, because that's what we're going to talk about today. What are the regions of the human spine?
The regions of the human spine, David.
Yes.
Well, we have our axial skeleton.
Okay.
We have the appendicular and axial skeleton, and the spine and the axial skeleton. It's the cervical spine.
Okay.
The thoracic spine and the lumbar spine, followed by the sacrum and the coccyx.
Is the spinal column in its natural form, is it straight?
It should be fairly straight from A to P, P to A, anterior to posterior, posterior, anterior. If you look at somebody from the back or the front on an x-ray, your spine should be really nice and straight. Now,
okay,
have we ever seen an exactly straight spine, David?
I would say no.
Not really. Not. There's always a little bit of here and there,
yeah,
but pretty straight is where we want to be. And from the side view, we want some nice curves. The cervical spine should have a lordosis, which is a curvature forward from the skull out towards the chin, back to the upper back and the back. And then a kyphosis, but not too much of a kyphosis, in the thoracic spine. And then another lumbar spine curvature, we want that to be a lordosis. And then the sacrum is five fused bones, so that's in a shape of a kyphosis.
I see.
And then a little tailbone off of that. So straight from front to back, nice smooth curves on the side view. And we'll lose curves due to certain injuries or incidences or lack of crawling, or we'll increase our kyphosis by compression fractures or injuries or hemivertebra, half vertebra, or there's all kinds of reasons and anomalies and everything.
What is the spinal canal, and do you as a chiropractor have to be mindful of its role in our bodies?
Ooh, the spinal canal is where the spinal cord is located.
Okay.
So we have the interlocking bones, and the vertebral body sit on top of these things called intervertebral discs. And let's go there for a second.
Okay,
those discs, when you say you have a disc bulge or a disc herniation, people get all freaked out. Oh, I can't see a chiropractor because I got a disc bulge. If we didn't see disc bulge, disc degeneration, disc herniation on a daily basis, 100 times a day, we wouldn't be in business. That's what it's just out there. So don't get too concerned with somebody. I mean, it's a big thing when we have disc bulge, but 60% of people are walking around with disc bulge.
Isn't it one of the most common back injuries?
Oh, yeah.
Herniated disc?
Yeah. And 80% of people have low back pain at some point in their life, most likely from a disc bulge. So we have that. So the spinal cords run inside the interlocking bones of the facet joints in the posterior joints, we call them. So we have the vertebral bodies, and then we have the transverse process, the spinous process, the pars interarticulatus. We have all these other parts to the posterior joints of the spine. That's that funny-looking thing off the back of the vertebral body.
Yes.
And they interlock, and then they make the spinal column, we'll say the spinal canal that the cord runs through. And then when they interlock, they have these little side holes. They're called intervertebral framing because they're in between the two vertebrae, and that's where the nerve roots exit, and that's where the nerves go out to the periphery.
I see.
Huh.
Are all vertebrae the same size?
No, and they're all in little different shapes. Like C1 is a ring with two lateral masses, and C2 has a little thing called an odontoid process, and that sits up inside of the atlas. So with the atlas rotates upon the axis like a wheel would rotate upon the axle of a car. So we have the axis. So we have the atlas, the axis, and then C3 through 7, the lower cervical vertebrae, look pretty similar. And then we get down to T1, and then C7, T1, that little spinous process, that little bump on the top of your spine,
yes,
that
sir,
sticks out, that's called vertebral prominens, and the vertebral prominens is the most prominent vertebra of the spine. It could be C7, T1, could be T2, and that sticks out the most of your spine. And then so the thoracic vertebrae have a little bit longer spinous processes, and they kind of overlap each other. And then we get down to the lumbar spine. They're a little bigger and thicker.
I see.
And a little stubbier spinous processes. And then we can have little disease processes, if they call them a disease, where the spinous process become flattened. Sherman's disease, I believe that is. And then, so all kinds of different. And then the fused sacrum, and then our little coccyx coccyx, or whatever you want to call it, the coccygeal bones.
How long is the spinal cord, and what determines its length? Does it grow along with the human body?
The cord or the spine? The cord?
The spinal cord, let's
the
say
spinal
that.
Cord. So the cord, if I'm going to take a full spine x-ray.
Yes.
I could take everyone's x-ray, yours, mine, a 6'7" guy, a 5-footer, all these people can fit on one film. Why? Because the spinal column, the spine itself, is only different of about an inch or two from one person to the other. And then we have, like, tiny people. That's sure. A little bit different. And we have these giants that are maybe a little bit different. But overall, the spine's about the same length in adults. And it's, I think, 34.5 inches is the average. I'm thinking that's what it is. And then we have that spine and we have those bones. And then the spinal cord is actually ends around L1, L2, the first or second lumbar bone. And then that spreads out into the thing called the horse's tail, the cauda equina. And so it's a bunch of nerve roots, and it looks like a horse's tail. That's what it's called, the horse's tail, sure. Cauda equina. And they have to make it interesting in Latin. And then that branches out. So the cord itself actually ends around L1, 2 in what's called the conus medullaris. Why? I have this. This is all just coming out, Dave.
That's fantastic.
Hey, that's pretty fun.
We are doing a deep dive this morning.
I still know my anatomy. That's
absolutely
pretty fun.
Is the spine ever supposed to curve?
From the side, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it can curve. So we have compensatory curves, David. Compensatory. If I have a lumbar spine bone, so I have these 5 lumbar bones. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have 5. I have 4. What do you mean I have 4?
What do you mean?
What do you mean you have 4? You're supposed to have 5. Maybe my 5th lumbar sacralized. Ooh, and became part of the sacrum, right? So if my lumbar spine has a spinal anomaly and now is fused to the sacrum, oh, that's a spinal anomaly. Now I have 4 bones in a lumbar configuration. But perhaps that L5 didn't completely sacralize and only half sacralized, and then it formed a little weird, and then it went off, right? Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't perfectly formed. Well, then the one above that, what's that going to do? That's going to change, and there's going to be compensation for that weird vertebra down low, and then we have some curvatures that way. Or it could be in the mid-thoracic spine. Maybe my body just formed a half a vertebra on one side, and then the other side was not formed correctly. Well, that's going to cause a curve, and your body always compensates for the benefit of the whole. It always tries to benefit the whole, so it's going to compensate, and it's going to make sure that everything else is centered. And your eyes will always try to follow your horizon, so there's compensation that way. So there's curvatures that the body makes because it has to, because it is trying to adapt to its environment.
What keeps the vertebrae from rubbing together?
The disc.
Is that what it is?
But, and in the facet joints, we have little synovial joints back there too. We have these little joints in the back. But the disc can degenerate over time, and it shouldn't degenerate over time if you take good care of it. So the disc will degenerate due to degenerative disc disease. Oh, I have degenerative disc disease. My mother had that. My father had. No, you had an injury. Degenerative disc disease usually doesn't just form for no reason. There has to be a reason for it. For every cause, there's an effect, right? So we know that if we have an injury in our lower cervical spine, we have a whiplash injury 20 years ago, and we didn't take care of it. Well, we have 20 years of degeneration.
Yes.
Now. So we have to take care of that, because the body will stop and it will try to make it so it doesn't hurt itself any longer and protect itself, and it'll start fusing. And your body's got an incredible sense. And if you have a big curve in your mid-back, it's going to lay down some bone at the concavity. It's going to stop that from getting any more stress.
Sure.
So at the stress points, it lays down bone.
You have talked a lot about nerve supply on this program. Does the spinal cord have nerves?
The spinal cord is the nerves, right? So we're gonna have that pack of nerves come from the brain and go down the spinal cord, and then that's everything, right? That's all the nerves that come from the head to the big toe. All going to come out of that spinal cord, going out to every single cell in the body. Now, there's even the disc has a nerve supply, right? So the disc, they're saying, well, there's really after age 25, there's no nerve and blood supply to the disc. It's all gone. But then they're saying, wait, the recurrent meningeal nerve goes to the outer annulus of the disc, and that's supplied by a nerve. Well, that's good. And maybe they're finding some other nociceptive pain fibers that are coming from the disc. So they're finding more things that maybe there is a little bit more nerve supply than we thought into the disc. But everything has a nerve supply. And you say, oh, Dave, we talk about nerves because we know that the chiropractors are put in that box, right? Low back pain.
Right.
And it's all about pain. It's all about, oh, I think I pulled a muscle. And no. So it's all about the nervous system. And if we can get back and look at the chiropractic profession as a whole, we see that over the last few years that we've been doing this, it's all come back to the nervous
yes.
system. And all the research comes back to the nervous system. And it's the nervous system that controls everything. And then we want to talk about, oh, well, I don't have any low back pain. I've never been to a chiropractor. Well, all right. It's still nerves, right? So, but yeah, it's really not about pain. It's about the function of every single cell in the body.
I'm just glad you're over your bitterness. Where do you generally see the most vulnerability?
Ooh, so we talked about that little C5, C6 disc
yes.
in the neck. So we know we have cervical, thoracic, lumbar, sacral, coccyx. We established that at the onset of your questioning, your reasoning. And we know that the cervical, we go with C. We go with CTL. So we call it a C5, C6. That is a very vulnerable spot because of whiplashes and little injuries of the neck. That seems to be like the number one cause. Now, if we see degeneration like, say, C3, C4, and we'll say, okay, you smashed your head on a windshield or something. Well, yeah, I did that. And you have to be aware when you're looking at the spine, because the spine take – I was talking to a medical doctor this weekend.
You were?
Yes.
You?
Yes. Yes, a well-known medical doctor in Arizona. And, we were sitting there chatting, and I said x-rays, you know, they tell a great story. He said, sometimes. I said, no, all the times. And he's like Mr. He was Mr. Trauma Surgeon. He did all these things, and I was arguing. I said, no, man, spine. The pictures of your spine tell great stories. So when I see a cervical spine with degeneration in a lower cervical, I'm gonna know it's whiplash. If I see a cervical spine with an upper cervical, I'm gonna say something else. Maybe there's going to be a fusion of the atlas to the skull, that anomaly that we talked about down low with the lumbarization, sacralization, because mm-hmm. your first part of your sacrum can become a lumbar bone, and we call that lumbarization.
Where am I going with this?
Where did I? What happened?
You took a road.
I took a road.
Let me bring you back to something. What is the spine's primary function?
Oh, I'm going to say the spine. Oh, Mr. Cotta. Yeah. Dr. Foley says that yesterday. He said, what were you saying? He said something. I said, oh. Mr. Cotter. But remember
I do. Chuck? Welcome back, Cotter. Yeah, Gabe Kaplan.
Welcome back.
John Travolta.
Welcome back. So the spine, the primary function of the spine is going to be protection of the nervous
All
system.
Right.
And we know that that's protected. And it has motion, and it has proprioception, and it has this. But I'm going to say, because I didn't write the books, but I'm going to say that my primary protection, primary function of the spine is to protect that precious nervous system.
What would you say is the most important part of the spine, if there is an important part, or maybe it's all important?
Take a guess. What would I say?
I would say probably the top of the... I'm just saying the top of the head.
I'm going to say that.
The atlas, around the atlas area.
I'm going to say that's the most important.
Just guessing.
Because you've learned much. Now, you're not a chiropractor.
No.
But you come up with these questions, and I have no idea what you're going to ask me, and you come up with these questions, but you're now knowing the answer, which is pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, if Kersey had to touch one bone on my spine, it would be the atlas.
Yeah.
And that is the most important spinal function, because that's where it all sits, man. That's where the brainstem is. And if you hurt that baby, you're done. Look at Superman.
I will be in the office at 9 o'clock today, just to let my patients know.
Okay. You're starting early.
You can come in if you want. Maybe around 2:30 if you mind. Hey, what keeps the spine healthy?
Motion. Motion, it keeps the spine healthy. And when we have lack of motion, we have death. Just with everything, you don't use it, you lose it. And with everything, your mind, your body, your mm-hmm. spirit, we have to work on all those things and keep them moving. Moving is the key to life. Motion is life. Without motion, there is death. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
And I think that if we keep the spine moving, we keep the vertebra in proper movement, not aberrant motion, not improper motion, because improper motion of the joints still leads to problems.
Sure.
So if we can get the proper motion back into the joints, into the segments of the spine, which is what we do, and we're not just mobilizers. We don't want to just mobilize spinal joints and hit everyone. Specific motion into the joints is better, in my opinion, because that's what I do. I find the vertebrae that's out of position and align that position and get the proper motion into the segments that aren't moving. I don't care about the ones that are moving properly. I do, but not when you're in my office, right? So I want you to get those spinal joints aligned and get the proper motion back into the joints.
Dr. Kersey, what do you What do you know the spinal cord to be an extension of within us?
Oh, I'd say if the spinal cord is an extension of the brain, I would say the brain is the is where I'm going to say most of the innate intelligence is of the body.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that the heart and soul of us is the brain and spinal cord,
okay,
because that's where most of the, I believe, innate intelligence flows over and through.
Yes.
So that's where I would go with that.
Do our discs, do they age right along with the rest of our bodies?
They age according, you know, we're going to have, if we're 104 years old like my grandmother,
yes,
if we're going to take a picture of that spine, we're going to see some wear and tear.
Yeah.
We're going to see it because that's what it is. But I've seen spines that I've taken care of for 28 years, and I've taken a picture, and I go, wow, who's your chiropractor? Because that's pretty cool. We have some really good spinal discs out there, and they've been taken care of. So, yes, it's going to age according to how you take care of yourself.
I see.
If you're a train wreck your entire life and don't take care of yourself, your discs are going to be the same way. If you have proper care of your spine, just like, do your teeth age the same way as you? Well, if I take care of my teeth and I brush my teeth and I floss, which I don't floss. I don't know why. Are you a flosser?
Yes, I am.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you go. I have to floss. Now I have to go start
flossing.
I'll
get you some.
All right. I have one. It hurts. And it bleeds, and it just hurts. But if I take care of my teeth, like my other grandmother, she was, I believe, 85 when she passed of a glioblastoma, which was a brain tumor.
Sorry
which
to hear
sucked.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she had all her teeth, right? So she did free dent gum. Remember? Free dent's the one that took the stick out of gum and put the fresh in your breath. So that was, she took good care of her teeth. And
it's a sign of good health.
It's a sign of good health. Dave, let's go there. A sign of good health would be good dental care.
Yes.
What else would it be? It would be good if I look at my spine, that's a sign of good health because health comes from within. Health comes from the nervous system. Health comes from that. So if we could look at all of our spines and say, oh, who's healthy and who's not, I would show you a healthier person with a healthier spine. That's what I would say that.
What are the most promising innovations in spine health that you see right now? Is it chiropractic?
I'd say it's still chiropractic.
Okay.
I'd say it's still chiropractic. Chiropractic, number one, still on spinal health. We still rule. There are some, you could look at a little intervertebral disc that they make with springs and that kind of stuff. Yeah, they're putting those in, and they're coming up with some really neat stuff orthopedically, and they're coming up with some neat surgeries, and they're doing laser surgery. And the laser, from what I spent some time with another chiropractor who worked at a laser spine institute, and he said there's not a whole lot of laser in there. There's still a lot of cutting and stuff.
Oh.
So that's interesting. And the laser's just a little bit of it, but they make it like so there's a lot of marketing for different stuff.
Right.
But when it really comes down to it, I still think that we're developing a better chiropractors and removing nerve interference and keeping things healthy. Now, if we start from the beginning, if we start from childhood and work our way into adulthood with proper spinal care, what other intervention do you need? Because
right,
we're already doing that.
What do you believe the emerging stem cell technologies will do to better our spinal health in the future?
Now, Dave, this stem cell stuff,
yeah,
right? You like it?
I have had it done to me.
You did?
Yeah.
And did it work?
I believe so. I'm walking.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I had it done in my shoulder. I'm going to say maybe 12 years ago.
Okay.
Has it been that long?
Yes, it has.
Wow. Maybe that long. Maybe 8 or 12. Anyway, I had the shoulder stem cell, and it was like a miracle. And I was like, "Whoa!" But I have a torn supraspinatus, infraspinatus, 3 spurs, a cyst. I have a torn up shoulder. I have bicipital tendinosis, and I have all these things. And all of a sudden, my shoulder was working. And then I fell off my deck trying to climb my deck, and I ruined it again. But I like the stem cell. I think it's au naturel. It's a biological. It's not a drug,
right,
which is really cool. And I have to go to a wedding in Mexico.
Yours?
No. I wish. No. So I have to go to a wedding in Mexico, and there is a in Puerto Vallarta. It's another chiropractor. Why wouldn't I go to his wedding? He's a great chiropractor, great guy, and he invited me to his wedding, so I'm going to go down there. And it just so happens that there is a there's a clinic in Mexico, in Puerto Vallarta, that has not only stem cell injections for shoulders, low back, cord damage, but they have an IV solution that they put stem cells throughout your body.
Get out of Baja.
Get out of Baja, California. Get into Puerto Vallarta.
Wow.
So guess what I think I'm going to do?
You going to try it?
Why not?
Any concerns?
No. What would I be concerned?
I don't know.
So I think when you're talking stem cell, I have some stem cells left over from when I got them before for a couple people, but I think I'm gonna jam one in my shoulder, and then I think I'm gonna do that IV thing. Why not? I'm waiting for stem cell to now. I have a beautiful head of hair except for in one spot. That spot is and if you want to talk about laser helmets and all that kind of stuff, I'm on 375 laser hair treatments of trying to grow back. I'm just doing experiments and I'm doing natural things to think, what can my patients benefit from? What can the world benefit if I have this experience? So I'm doing it full bore and I'm 375. I got a little bit of fuzz growing up on the top of my head now, which is pretty cool. So I'm trying that. And they're doing stem cell. This is off the spine. This is not, you know, spinal. But they're doing stem cell with PRP, which is protein-rich plasma, which they spin down your blood and put that back in, and hair follicle transplant with this little derma roller. And this guy's developed this derma roller that goes on your head. He's putting stem cells in there with PRP, with transplants. And I don't want to do that. I want to do purely stem. So when they come up with a purely stem cell for hair, which I think it's all the same stuff, so why can't they just put stem cell in my head with a derma roller? I don't know. But I think they're just trying to make more money. But that would be cool. So stem cell, Dave, I'm super excited about stem cell.
I can hear it.
It's absolutely not chiropractic. What is chiropractic about that is your body's innate intelligence. And when it takes a stem cell and it has this thing to work with, just like anything, just like any force in the body, when I adjust somebody, I'm a force that goes into the body with my hands, and that your innate intelligence takes over and makes it adapt to to that force. Same thing with stem cell. If it's in there, your body deals with toxins the same way. It eliminates toxins. It takes toxins out of your system. It regulates the body. So if I threw some stem cells in there, what would it do with it? I have so much faith in my innate intelligence that I'm thinking, why wouldn't my body?
Would stem cells restore damaged cells?
That's what they're supposed to
do. Is that what they're supposed to do?
I don't think it's going to get rid of a spur. I don't think it's going to return a ligament to normal. But who knows? I'm excited to get my new MRI because I can go to 90 degrees today on my shoulder. I'm having a bad shoulder. I think it was from hitting balls to Vinny the other day.
Probably,
I was hitting ground balls. And that's a little rough on my shoulder.
Has chiropractic always been at the forefront and the future of spinal health care?
Absolutely. There's always research being done. There's always something going on with spinal health care. And chiropractic is at the forefront of that research and of this. Yes, there's orthopedic things. We don't get involved in spinal surgeries. That's spinal care. That's if you want to talk about trauma care and spinal. Somebody sent me a picture the other day of a compression fracture. Who was it? Who was it that sent me a picture? It was a thoracic spine. I believe it was a motorcycle. I don't know what kind of accident it was, but it was a thoracic spine. Remember, that's the cervical thoracic lumbar. We had the thoracic spine in the middle, and it was a compression fracture that was completely displaced with fragments. And I said, "Ooh, that's a big surgery."
Yes.
Because that's 100% surgery. They're going to go in and they're going to try to do something to that. Now, if it's just a compression fracture, and they've tried cement to go in there, and because the anterior part of the vertebral body is smaller now than the back, and it looks like a little wedge, they'll go in there and put cement in there, and they'll try to increase that. They'll do all kinds of things. Most of the research shows it doesn't matter if you put the cement in there or just do some rest and lay on your back and avoid severe weight-bearing activities, then it's the same outcome. So there's different research in different areas. The orthopedics are doing a great job with that. The neurosurgeons do a great job with that. They're doing their thing, but I still think that overall spinal health, chiropractors rule.
Chiropractic was founded over 127 years ago. How do you see chiropractic evolving over the next 100 years, starting right now?
I'd like it to be more focused on the nervous system and overall health.
Okay.
Now, we know that there are so many modalities, and I got an email today. What was one? One was laser. One was decompression. One was neuropathy, which we work with. I mean, there's so many people out there trying to do so many other things in chiropractic. I think if, and as the bell curve goes, I think most of us are still on that, in the middle of the curve, saying that we have to remove subluxation so your body's health can be restored from within by innate intelligence, and we have to remove the nerve interference. But there are a lot of modalities
yes.
out there. And there's a lot of things out there. And chiropractic was always known for its conservative approach to health in a cost-effective way. And I think when we lose our way and it becomes less cost-effective and it becomes super expensive, that's a tough one, man, because everybody should be able to afford chiropractic care. And when it becomes unaffordable, is that a word?
Sure. Yes, it is.
Then I think that we're losing the goal of trying to make this world a better place by making everyone subluxation free and having a healthier life.
When something as simple as a phone is introduced into society, does it have the ability to set the human spine backwards and even permanently?
That damn phone, man. I'll tell you what. Everybody's on their phone with their anterior weight bearing, and you want to talk about pandemics or global problems. That's one of them. I mean, the anterior weight bearing, we know. Well, we don't know. Research shows anterior weight bearing, that atlas slipping forward, decreases life expectancy.
Ooh.
Decreases life. They're actually saying out there, with your head forward, you're decreasing your life expectancy. But that's okay. Here's a new iPhone 14 Max Pro, and make sure you keep your head down because it's big enough now that you can't hold it up.
Do you have it?
No, I got the 12. I'm a couple back, but the 12 is good enough, man. I have the 12 by accident, but I have a 12. But yeah, I love it. I love the phone. The technology is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, if your phone died, like I was on an airplane Sunday night. I forgot my charger.
Oh no.
AirPods are dead. Phone's got 9%. I still got an Uber, so I have to save my phone for when I get off the plane. iPad's dead. I didn't have anything to read. I couldn't fall asleep. It was miserable because. Technology is wonderful, right? And we rely on it so much. And now I got to sit on a plane. I just got to sit there. I didn't bring a book. I just, because I read books on my iPad, I couldn't get anything done. It was 5 hours of me sitting there thinking, maybe I'll sleep. Nope, this isn't working.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage in Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Strode. Dr. Kersey, if someone tells you that they are considering spinal surgery, what's the first question you usually put to them?
Have you done everything conservatively that you can do first before you've considered surgery?
And is there really a lot of things they can do before they happen to that surgeon's office?
A lot of things.
Not to take away anything from surgeons.
No, because we need surgeons.
I've used
sometimes.
Them.
And that person with the compression fracture in the thoracic spine is blown apart.
Ouch.
Wow. And I'll have to find that picture for you at the break. I'll show you the picture. I don't know who sent it.
Was he a candidate for spine surgery at that point?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And maybe they'll say, we'll just let it go. I doubt it. I really think that there is a need for spine surgery at some point with some people. But if you have disc bulge, disc herniation, degenerative disc disease, spinal canal stenosis, on and on and on and on, all the conditions of the spine, all
right.
those diagnoses that you have now become a part of and think, well, I can't do that because I have this. Boy, that's the toughest thing. I've been diagnosed with this. Oh, so now what? So now you stress out and you can't do this and you can't do that. What happened 5 days ago before you knew that you had that?
Right.
You were just fine.
Will you pick apart a diagnosis?
Oh, yeah. I
to try to re-diagnose?
Yeah. So a guy comes in the other day and he says, yeah, I've been told I have carpal tunnel syndrome. And I said, oh, no. I said, let's just start with this right now. You don't have carpal tunnel syndrome. And,
wow.
And I didn't even talk to the guy for 5 minutes. And he says, what do you mean? I said, what do you do that causes carpal tunnel? And he explained to me what he did. And I said, okay, no. And then he explained. Then we found out where it was coming from in his neck. And then we saw his pictures of degenerative disc disease in his neck. One adjustment. He said, oh, I don't have any more numbness in my hands. Because you didn't have carpal tunnel. And it's just, carpal tunnel is one of the most misdiagnosed condition I see.
Does it frustrate you?
It frustrates the tar out of me.
Yeah.
Because, oh, well, your carpal tunnel is going all the way to your neck. No, it's not. That's not how the body works.
And what do they normally operate on for carpal tunnel?
Oh, they take the flexor retinaculum, Dave.
Okay.
The flexor retinaculum, which is right here, this little band that goes across your front of your wrist, and they cut that, and they clear out the passage where your nerves come into your hands.
But is that the source of the pain? No, it goes back up to the neck.
It can be. Okay. I mean, there can be some pretty nasty stuff going on in the wrist, right? You can have some scarring and all kinds of stuff going on there. But no, mostly comes from the neck. But they don't want to tell you that because they want to do your hand surgery.
Yes.
So and some people, like my one buddy got a. One patient, and he's a buddy because he's a great guy. He had hand surgery for his Dupuytren's contracture. He had his like a little nodule in his hand. He's so messed up right now. he's had surgery upon surgery, and it wasn't even bothering him. They just said, "Oh, we need to fix this." He's like, "Okay," and he did it, and there you go. But that's a pretty bad misdiagnosis. But when you have, what was the question with diagnoses overall? You know, you see the diagnosis, you pick them apart, you have to think, but you have to put everything together. You don't just say, all right, my hands are tingling. I know what you were saying. You were saying something about surgery. Do I suggest I do something conservatively first, right?
Yeah.
So I'll say, have you gone through conservative approach of chiropractic care? Have you done your exercises, your spinal exercises. You can do physical therapy. Physical therapy takes a little bit longer than chiropractic to accomplish some of those things. But have we taken the pressure off the nerve first? That's number one. Have you done everything? Have you done decompression? Have you done who knows? The gamut is huge of what you can do conservatively first before you do surgery. And then if we've exhausted all those options, then we say, okay, make sure the MRI shows that there's enough pressure on that nerve for, say, a low back surgery that we need to clean this up, and it's not getting better. But if there's progression, then no. Now, like one guy yesterday, that bothers me. He didn't show up yesterday, and he had foot drop, and he was doing really well, and I went away for a week, and I think he got off his game. And I think, I hate going away, but I have to come back, and I go back, but it stinks. But that's what it is. So I will make sure that it is conservative first, and I will pick apart the diagnosis because it's a diagnosis doesn't mean it's true.
After you have seen tens of thousands of patients over nearly 30 years, are non-surgical options of chiropractic just as effective as surgery sometimes?
Often more. I think we're going to say that this old statistic is still true.
Okay.
Let's go back 28 years ago when I learned of the statistic, or 30 years ago when I learned of the statistic that 40% of low back surgery is effective. Okay. So that means 60% is ineffective. And if I have one surgery, most likely I'm going to have aberrant motion above and below the area of surgery, and I'm going to have another surgery. So we have to look at that. And there, like I said, you know, we get to the point where we need surgery, that's fine. But we have to make sure we keep the things moving above and below after surgery. Post-surgical candidates are often seen in chiropractic care. And did we need that surgery? Did we do the right level? What did we do? So when we see that surgery, where was I going with this, Dave? I don't know. But where was I going? I don't know. I don't even.
I was going to ask you if non-surgical options of chiropractic are just as effective as surgical options.
Yeah. So if we know that we're in a position where this is going to be, say, 40% effective.
Yeah.
And we know that our care is at least 40 to 80 to 90% effective on the same condition. And if we go through the process, because it's not going to be one adjustment. I got severe degenerative disc disease and I have disc bulge. One adjustment may not do it, Dave. And it might be a process of getting you back to where you need to be. And you may have waited 40 years to tackle this. So we're going to go through that conservative care. And if it is effective and probably way cheaper in a year versus one procedure in a day, we're going to look at that and say, okay, did I need the surgery? This would have been quicker. The surgery would have been quicker and most likely worked, and I would have been okay, but I went through the conservative approach. It all depends on what you want to do. And I just think, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, that I would rather go through a process of getting better and taking care of myself and getting back to health and making sure there's no invasive procedures before I did an invasive procedure.
How does the natural course of a patient's condition typically turn out if it's not surgically addressed?
Well, naturally, if we're not surgically addressing it, and if we're not addressing it through therapy or chiropractic, and we're not doing anything, it's going to get worse.
Right.
And if we intervene in the beginning and we have a little bit of disc bulge or a little bit of herniation or we have a little bit of degenerative arthritis, then we're going to be better off than if we wait 40 years to do something about it. So it all depends. And it all depends on where you are in your biological continuum from birth to death and where we're meeting you and what you have done. A couple of patients yesterday, it was pretty funny. I had two female new patients, both in their, I think, 30s. Both have not seen a chiropractor for 9 to 10 years. Both had the same symptoms of sciatica. And I thought, this is strange. Yeah. And they didn't know each other, but it was a couple hours apart. But it was pretty fun to see all those things. And what happened? They were under chiropractic care. They were doing great. Then they moved, and they were both military, which was even stranger. And they were both moved around the country, and they gave up on the chiropractic care. And both symptoms returned. So they came back to some conservative care, and we're going to try to get them back to where they need to be and try not to let them wait 9 years before they get adjusted again.
Why isn't spinal cord surgery the answer to aching back issues?
Because the body has unbelievable recuperative powers, we say, right? We say recuperate. What does that mean? We can recuperate and we can actually heal if given the opportunity. So sometimes it's just a little pressure on a nerve and you have an aching back.
Wow.
And we just have to get that pressure off the nerve and your body knows how to heal. Just because you have pain doesn't mean you have to have surgery.
Are people taken back by the simplicity of that answer?
It is. It is pretty.
It's just a nerve.
Well, they get off the table. I adjust them side posture. I put them on the high low and I put them in the chair and adjust them. And people say, that's it? I'll say, you want more? And they say, no, I'm just wondering if that was it. And it is simple, but it is simply knowing when to go, how to go, where to go with 30 years experience. You're not paying for that adjustment. Mm-hmm. You're paying for what it took for me to get to that point where I know exactly what your problem. Like patient came in yesterday. Okay, here's your problem. This is where it's come from. How do you know that? That's why you're here.
Right.
You're here because Dr. Foley and I and every other chiropractor in town and in the country know through experience what we're doing and where we need to go, and we're going to find that answer, and that's what we're going to deliver. You came to us with a problem. We're going to deliver a solution, and we're hopefully deliver that through an adjustment.
Do you find that spine surgeries are usually not emergency surgeries?
I love the emergency spine surgery.
Do you really?
Oh, yes. You need emergency surgery now. You could be paralyzed if you slipped and fell tomorrow. I've seen that so many times. That is such the biggest crock of crap in the entire world. Now, if we're in an accident, Dave,
yes,
right,
sir.
And we have a spinal injury and we need emergency spinal surgery, great. Have at it. Please don't come to my office because then I'm going to have the ambulance at my office and everybody's going to say, why is the ambulance at Kersey Chiropractic?
Right.
Well, if you have a spinal surgery, if you have a spinal injury like that, yes, get out. Like that one we saw the other day or that picture that was sent to me, spine surgery. Get out. Go. That's great. That's emergency surgery.
Right.
If you walk into an office and you say, my hand is tingling or I have pain between my shoulder blades, or I have low back pain with sciatica. You walk in there, they diagnose you with a degenerative disc disease, herniation, and they do an MRI, they do all this stuff, and they say, you need emergency surgery because if you move the wrong way and don't get adjusted because they can paralyze you, that's bull. And that is wrong, and that is them against what is right for the patient. So I've seen that from a couple different providers, and I want to go choke them. But I won't choke them, Dave.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after this. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stern. Dr. Kersey, how are you trying to get every good year out of Todd Kersey's body that you can these days?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm asking.
You know, we're trying to tip the scales on the constructive survival values. I'm eating right. I found glutamine.
Never heard of it.
Glutamine, it's amino acid, but L-glutamine. I had it in my cab. I keep buying it. I've never taken it, and that's changed my gut health, and it's supposed to be good for muscle mass. That was fun. I introduced something new. I'm doing what's appropriate reading. I'm doing the workouts. Now, I was in Arizona last week. Vince and I worked out every single day, and I think I took one day off, so that was a lot of fun. I didn't work out yesterday because pure exhaustion.
Absolutely.
Sleep, and then worked all day. So workout today. Cooper's back up here and working out, trying to think straight, trying to maintain a better posture every day. Still working on my posture. That's huge. But the food intake. Good food intake, and just trying to live every single day the way we preach. So we're practicing what we preach.
Right.
We're trying to do all the things that we know are necessary to maintain health. And I got adjusted yesterday, full
good
spine
for you.
Adjustment, I adjusted Dr. Foley, and it was great. And I love when people say, "Who adjusts you?" The guy in the hallway, the other chiropractor. I mean, it's silly, but. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're trying to do everything right.
And with all the good thing that you are doing, where do you think that you're leaving good years on the table that are enough to concern you?
You know, that fun thing. You know, we just talked about that at break. You know, that was fun. You know, we put a little studio together at the office. Yeah, fun things. I think that I'm missing out on some fun things. So Cooper and I are going to go golfing this week. We're going to try to do some fun things. But the fun part of life. Hasn't really been around except for a little golf and, you know, working out with Vinny and hanging out. But I really liked hanging at the pool. But I think, you know, 6 years ago, my family moved down to Arizona and I've been going back and forth every other week. And that's draining and not fun, not exciting. And it really took a lot out of me. And I probably should have made some different decisions.
Sure.
But, that's what it is. And just got to move forward from there. So trying to make better decisions every day.
Have you conceived of a vision for your future self, say 50 years from now?
Well, 50 years from now, I may be in a box, but I don't think so.
Right.
Cause we're going to 127. That'd be 104. So
your grandma's 104.
She's 104. If yeah, she's a hoot. But if, I think I'd like to just be, sitting on a beach somewhere, just hanging out and teaching people about life choices.
Have you adopted probably the most healthful lifestyle possible?
I think I could do more. You know, and there's people that are into stretching and they're into yoga and they're into this and they're into that. I think I could still add some other things in my life that would probably be beneficial. Relaxation, meditation, those kind of things. I still need to get more involved in those. So I think I'm doing most things right. I feel like I'm in one of the best shapes I've ever been in as far as physically, mentally. Mentally, I'm a little challenged, Dave. We all have our crosses to bear.
Yes.
And mine has been. I'm just trying to break it off in splinters and try to get it off my back and move forward. So there are some things that have been weighing me down, but I'm looking forward to a lighter future.
Well, fantastic. Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic at what number, my friend?
907-569-9355.
Dr. Kersey is going to join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversations Unlimited. Have a healthful week.
You too, David. Make some good choices.
I'm Dave Stroh. You have a good week.